That's where we will begin. Continue our study on rightly dividing the word of truth. So this will be the fourth message in the series of rightly dividing. And I wanted to switch up the text a little bit. We've been going to 2 Timothy chapter 2 the past few times, and I want to turn to a similar passage in 2 Peter and just remind us again of the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth, because false doctrine is very dangerous and can get us in trouble. If we're not careful, then, you know, we can easily be deceived. And, you know, I've noticed here in my recent studies that, you know, it's easy to get mixed up on some things. That's why so many people are confused. There's so many different denominations of people because churches and individuals can take verses out of the Bible and take truth out of the Bible and place it in the wrong period of time and teach a false doctrine. And so it can be very deceptive. And so I don't want you to think that just because you grew up in church or just because you're here on a Wednesday night that you are immune to being led astray. And I don't want to think that either. So we just need to be on guard. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's begin in verse number 15. The Bible says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest," word means to twist, "as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Peter here is writing to believers. He's writing to saved people. He said there are some verses in God's holy word that they're hard to understand. And if you're unlearned and you're unstable, if you're not careful, you will wrest those and you will destroy yourself. Verse number 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." But Peter says you need to be very careful. You're steadfast, you're doing well. But if you're not careful, you will fall from that steadfastness because of false doctrine. And he exhorts them to grow in grace. So we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. Last time we met together, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the church and the nation of Israel are different in many different ways and how that it is vitally important for us to make a clear distinction between the two. Now tonight, we're going to continue that thought of the church and the nation of Israel, but we're going to kind of focus in upon their future and how that they have a difference in their future, and in particular as it pertains to the future seven-year tribulation that will come upon this earth. And so we want to look at some things and rightly divide the word of truth. Now there are some, I hope there's none here tonight, or could be, maybe listening on Facebook or however many, YouTube, that some believe that the church will go into the seven-year tribulation that is to come upon this earth. And I'm telling you, that teaching is gaining popularity in our day. It's gaining a lot of popularity. And there's verses that they take, I'll show you a few tonight, and they just take out of context, and they try to teach that the church is going through what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, you would think that title in and of itself would be very obvious. If God calls that seven-year time a time of Jacob's trouble, that God is referring to the nation of Israel primarily. Now, we in the church, we're going to be gone. We're going to be raptured out of here. And, you know, we're not looking for signs. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the church. That's the hope of the believer. And so our objective tonight is to expose that false doctrine that the church will go into the tribulation. You know, a lot of people say, well, the church is going to go through the tribulation. Man, we can't even make it 5 days in 90-degree weather. Right? I mean, this is a soft generation, and we got people talking about going through the seven-year tribulation. Are you kidding me? It's not going to be Americans, I can promise you that. They won't make it a week. But listen, most people that go into the tribulation are not going to make it through the tribulation. But I don't even believe the church is going into the tribulation. I don't believe for one second that the church will experience the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, so we want to expose that. How do you expose false doctrine? Well, you just teach the truth. And so we just want to teach and preach truth from the Bible. So Turn with me, if you will. Let's go first to the book of John, chapter 16. And that was where our pastor took his text Sunday morning, John 16. And then again, after John 16, turn, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 14. So let's look at those two, John 16 and Acts chapter 14. We're going to look at rightly dividing under three headings tonight. The first one is going to be rightly dividing terms. There are certain words in the Bible that are similar that we have to be careful not to confuse. We have to rightly divide terms. And the term that I want to look at tonight, or the terms that I'd like to look at tonight, is the term tribulation in the Bible. The word tribulation is mentioned 22 times in the Bible, 3 in the Old Testament, 19 in the New. And then you also have to distinguish the word tribulation from, there's a phrase in the Bible that's called the tribulation. It's tribulation with that definite article the attached to it, that we'll look at both of these. And you have to rightly divide between the two. So the word tribulation, I'm going to give you a definition of the word. It comes from, there's a Latin derivative, and it's the word tribulum. Now, a tribulum was an instrument that they used in the threshing floor when they were threshing wheat. It was a long instrument of timber, wood. It had a metal, almost like claws, spikes on the end of it. And they would take that tribulum, and the wheat, the grain would be upon the threshing floor, and they would take that device and draw it across the grain to separate the wheat from the chaff. And we know the chaff was just the hull. It was empty, of no value. And so it sheds great light on what the word tribulation means. The word tribulation is trouble that either a group or an individual passes through with the goal, with the intention of purification. God puts us through tribulation. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, hope. And so God allows us to go through tribulation with the goal of purifying us. He doesn't put us through tribulation to destroy us. He puts us through tribulation to develop us. And likewise, when we look a little bit later on at the time of Jacob's trouble, the future 7-year tribulation that will come upon this earth, the purpose of that is for God to purify his people, the Jews. And we'll look at that a little bit in detail later on, probably not tonight. So that's what the word tribulation means. The purpose of tribulation is to purify by removing that which is of no value. Now, look, if you will, at John chapter 16. And I'm in Mark. I need to find John. Amen. John 16. What we need to understand tonight is not every reference to tribulation in the Bible refers to the 7-year tribulation. Okay? Not every time you see the word tribulation, it's not always talking about a future 7-year tribulation. Notice, if you will, John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have, there's our word, tribulation. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. There's trouble in this world, isn't there? And Jesus told his disciples, he said, now, when I allow you to go through trouble, knowing now the definition of that word, it's not to destroy his disciples, it's to develop his disciples. And so he's not talking about a future time of tribulation here. Turn to Acts chapter 14 now. And this verse is actually twisted. What was the word that Peter used? Rest. Some take this scripture and they rest it to their own destruction. And I don't want to take verses and try to make the church go through the tribulation. What kind of hope would we have if we thought that, you know, what was awaiting us immediately was a 7-year tribulation? Wouldn't that be terrible? But we're looking for Jesus to come back, amen? Acts chapter 14, look, if you will, Paul's been preaching, and he has suffered tribulation. He's been dragged out of the city, left for dead. Now he's coming back into the same city. And in Acts 14, the end of verse 21, we see that he's in the towns of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And there are those that take this verse and try to use it as a proof text, and they say, you see there, Paul has said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Well, you have to rightly divide. Not every time you see the word tribulation is it talking about the great tribulation, the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. Paul's just simply saying what Jesus said. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. And he told Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he's simply telling this church, he had just got drug out of the city, out of the towns, beaten and left for dead. And so he comes back, no doubt, with wounds that are visible and probably still in pain everywhere. And he stands in front of those congregations and he lets them know, hey, listen, they treated me like this. They're going to treat you like that. Don't give up. Don't back up. Don't shut up. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep living for Jesus. This is going to be the way it is. And that's the message that Paul's trying to teach there to the disciples there in Acts 14. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation chapter 2, and we'll look at one more example of tribulation. Revelation chapter 2. We'll begin in verse number 18. Revelation 2, verse number 18. Bible says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service, faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And so the Lord's, he's chastening this church, and he's rebuking them. He's saying, you have allowed this woman, Jezebel, you've allowed this false teaching infiltrate the church. And the time period that this is speaking of is what we know in history as the Dark Ages. It was a very dark time in history, a time of persecution of many Christians, and it extends all the way from about the year 600 AD to the early 1500s, just before the Reformation. It was a very dark time in society, and I believe that's the time that Jesus is referring to here. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her, he's not talking about this church at Thyatira, he's talking about her, Jezebel, the symbol of false doctrine, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into what? Into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, the phrase here, great tribulation, I believe is referring to the 7-year tribulation. There's another time where this phrase, great tribulation, is mentioned. We'll see it in the book of Matthew shortly. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's not telling the church they're going through the tribulation. He's telling that church, I'm going to take care of Jezebel, and she's going to go through the tribulation. Now see, there's false teachers that try to take Revelation 2, and they say, well, here are the 7 letters to the 7 churches of Asia Minor. And they try to say, well, here it's said that the church of Thyatira is going into great tribulation. Well, if you just simply read it and see what it has to say, Jesus is not talking about the church going into the great tribulation. He's talking about the woman going into great tribulation. Now notice what he said again, verse number 22. And behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. But, verse number 24, unto you, see, now he's speaking to the church, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over nations. And Jesus gives this church a blessing if they will persevere and overcome. So, very clear. The church is not going into the 7-year tribulation period. Now, every time we find the word tribulation that is not called the great tribulation or the tribulation in the Bible, it can just simply refer to an individual or a group of individuals that are going through trouble. They're just going through troublous times. Now, go with me, if you will, and let's look at the first time this word is mentioned. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. All right, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy 4. And just to get our context, get to Deuteronomy 4, and let's look at verse number 1, just so we can see who Moses is speaking to here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O who? Israel. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, and so on and so forth. If you continue reading, he is speaking to Israel, about Israel. And then you come down to verse number 30, and you find the first mention of this word tribulation in the Bible. The Bible says, when thou art in tribulation, when you're in a hard place, when you're in troublesome times, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient to his voice. And I'll just stop there for the sake of time. But Moses is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's saying, listen, in the latter times, you will be in tribulation. Now, I believe the immediate context, he's talking about the time of the judges when they were taken captive by the enemies because they forsook the Lord and they served idols and they served other gods, and God allowed them to be delivered into the hands of their enemies, and they were in tribulation in those times. And the Bible says in the book of Judges that God allowed the nation of Israel to be carried captive into those lands to prove them. He didn't do that to destroy them, because the whole idea of tribulation is to expose someone to trouble with the intent of making them better. Okay? And so Moses says, you know what? When thou art in tribulation in the latter days. Now, I do believe that this could be also referencing the future 7-year tribulation, because we know that the nation of Israel will be the nation that is primarily dealt with during that time, that they will be in tribulation, but it will not be for the purpose of destroying them. It will be for the purpose of helping them to realize that they've sinned, and it will prepare them for the coming of their Messiah at the close of that time. Okay? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. All right? Let's go to one of the key texts that a lot of the false teachers like to use. It's a great text. It's, if you teach it right and you rightly divide, Matthew 24. So we've talked a little bit about tribulation. And let's see where the Bible references the tribulation. Mark refers to it as that tribulation. But here in Matthew 24, we see the tribulation. Matthew 24, let's just look at verse number 29. Jesus speaking here. And this is the only time you find the word tribulation with the definite article the in front of it in the Bible. Matthew 24, verse number 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And so obviously when you compare this scripture with several others, the context is he is now referring to the future 7-year tribulation. Now, something interesting I want us to look at next, okay? Now, we've looked at the importance that we have to rightly divide terms, okay? When the Bible says tribulation, we need to make sure that we understand, all right, is this just talking about someone going through trouble? Or is it referring to a future 7-year period where God is going to allow the nation of Israel to go through that time? Okay, we have to rightly divide. The next thing I'd like to rightly divide is trumpets, okay? Now, we know the Bible's full of references to trumpets. But I want you to understand that every time you see a trumpet in the Bible, it's not talking about the rapture of the church. Now, we know that 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, even Revelation chapter 4, there's a trumpet that sounded, and there is a teaching or a picture of the church being raptured out of this world and going up to meet the Lord in the air. And we know that those of us that are saved, that's our blessed hope. That's what we're looking forward to. But that does not mean every time we see someone blowing a trumpet in the Bible that he's talking about the rapture. Okay? Sometimes when we see someone blowing a trumpet in the Bible, they're preparing for war, the Old Testament. Many times, and we're going to look at several of these references, when we see a trumpet being blown, it's referring to the time after the tribulation when God is going to gather the nation of Israel together and he is going to restore them as he's promised to do that. Okay? And so there's trumpets before the tribulation, at the rapture. That's the one we're listening for. And then 7-year tribulation. Then there's going to be trumpets after the tribulation. And that's going to be to gather the nation of Israel, because they're going to get scattered during that time. And God's going to gather them. He's going to restore them as a nation. And they, along with the church, we're coming back with Jesus. We will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And Jesus will sit upon the throne and rule and reign. So notice, look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is talking about not the rapture, the revelation, the second coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus to this earth. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. Now listen to me. When the church is raptured out, Jesus is not sending an angel to come and get us. All right, we're going up to meet him in the clouds. Okay? Here, he is sending an angel with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is talking about the gathering of the nation of Israel after the tribulation period. It's very important that we rightly divide between these trumpets. Okay? We're listening for a trumpet to sound at any time. And when we hear the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, amen, hey, we're going up. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And listen, we're going up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. Amen. And that's what we're looking for. But every time we read of trumpets, it's not talking about the rapture. And on the other hand, every time we read of trumpets, it's not talking about after the tribulation period. Okay? So let's look at a couple of those. Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah 27. Very interesting. Isaiah 27. And so those that do not believe in the rapture of the church, they try to take every reference to a trumpet, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 4. They try to take every reference to a trumpet and say, well, the church is going through the tribulation, and that trumpet is the one that is going to be sounded after the tribulation to gather in the nation of Israel. And it's just simply not so. The two are two very different events, and I think that you'll see what I'm talking about as we read. Isaiah 27, look if you will at verse number 12. Isaiah 27, verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river into the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one. Who? O ye children of Israel. He's going to gather them one by one. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. They shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. There will be Israelites that were ready to perish. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be, they have ran for their lives because the Antichrist is mistreating them. But God's going to blow the trumpet. The trumpet's going to sound, and they're going to be gathered one by one, and they're going to come and worship their Messiah. They're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. They're going to repent. God's going to give them a new heart. He's going to write his laws upon their heart. And they're going to be restored as a nation. This is a reference in Isaiah 27. Let's look at another one. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah. I think we were there a couple weeks ago. Let's go back to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1. You'll also find this teaching in Joel chapter 2. We don't have time to go there. The entire chapter talks about this period. Zephaniah chapter number 1. Look, if you will, at verse number 14. Now remember, we're rightly dividing these trumpets. Trumpets will sound at the rapture. Trumpets will sound 7 years later after the tribulation period. We're talking about the trumpets now that will sound after the seven-year tribulation, when Israel will be gathered after that time of tribulation. Zephaniah chapter 1, look at verse number 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet. There it is. An alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Here's our word. Gather together. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Nation of Israel, we're hated, despised during the time of the tribulation, but a trumpet's going to sound in Zephaniah chapter 1. Jesus is going to come back, and he is going to execute judgment. And I think that if you were following along as I was reading those verses, it's very obvious. Listen, when we go up in the rapture, those of us that are saved, Jesus is not coming down to clean house. He's calling his church up to the clouds, and we'll go through the judgment seat and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But then when we come back with Jesus, he's coming back, and we're going to come back on a horse, and we're just going to be spectators. He's going to do the work, and I'm telling you, he's going to take care. He's going to make speedy riddance, the Bible says, of the enemies. And he's going to gather together the nation of Israel, and he's going to right every wrong. He's going to make it right. Go with me now, if you will, to the book of Zechariah. Just a couple of books over. You're there in Zephaniah. Go past Haggai and then go to the book of Zechariah. Chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Another reference here. Zechariah chapter 9. Look, if you will, at verse number 12. Zechariah 9:12. Zechariah 9:12, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls as in the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his hand. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful and new wine the maids. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to restore his people, and a trumpet's going to sound. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the revelation. Look at a couple verses in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. He's going to restore them. Look, if you will, one more. Verse number 10, I believe it is. Verse number 10. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them. There's our word again. The trumpet's going to sound. He's going to gather his people out of Assyria, bring them into the land of Gilead, Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. So, we have to rightly divide terms in the Bible. In particular, the term tribulation. We need to understand what it means. We need to rightly divide the trumpets in the Bible. There's a 7-year period in between the two trumpets. Trumpets will sound at the rapture. Trumpets will sound at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he will gather his people. And then lastly, we need to rightly divide some titles. Okay, God gives this 7-year period some different titles that we need to understand. And if you will, go back to Matthew 24, and I'm just going to list these, and we'll look at one of them maybe in detail another time. Go back to Matthew 24, and we'll look at just a few titles that this time is referred to as. Matthew 24. Rightly divide some of these titles. Now, one of the titles that this 7-year tribulation is called the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24, look if you will at verse number 7. Matthew 24, 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, those things are happening even now. They are. And they're going to continue after the church is raptured out. When we're gone, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors, earthquakes. And what's getting ready to set up is for the Antichrist to come on the scene. And everybody's going to think, well, this man's got all the answers. And everything will be fine for about 3.5 years. And after that, it's horrible. Great tribulation after that. But here, at the very beginning of that 7-year tribulation, it's called the beginning of sorrows. This phrase has a military connotation. Events such as war and famine and so forth, an earthquake, takes place near the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Another term that we'll look at another time is called Daniel's 70th week. And that's found in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, where the Lord said that there are 70 weeks that were determined upon His people and upon the holy city of Jerusalem. And it's very obvious from that text that God is primarily talking about the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, okay? Not the church. We'll be gone, okay? So Daniel's 70th week. And then also here in Matthew 24, we've also seen in verse 21 the phrase great tribulation. Look, if you will, again, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jeremiah chapter number 30, verse number 7, refers to this time as the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay? And I believe that from studying the context in Jeremiah 30, that the reference also is to the second part, the last 3.5 years of that tribulation time. It's going to be great tribulation. Now, this world's never seen a time like that. Now, we've seen some dark days. And the history of our world has seen some very dark days. It won't be anything to be compared with this time. The time of Jacob's trouble, the time of the tribulation period, the time of Daniel's 70th week. Now, we could look at several other references, but I hope tonight we've seen enough to understand it's very important that we rightly divide the word of truth. It's very important that when we read a word, that we don't just assume it means the same thing in one place that it means everywhere else. You have to study the context. You have to understand what God's saying, who is He speaking to, who's speaking. And so we need to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible's clear. Israel's not the church. Church is not Israel. We have a blessed hope. And I believe I said at the beginning of the message tonight, we're not looking for the Antichrist. And listen, even though there's wars and rumors of wars, we shouldn't stick our head in the sand. But listen, primarily, we're not listening for rumors of wars. We're not looking for signs. We're listening for the sound, the trumpet. And we're looking for Jesus to come back. We have a blessed hope. Now, what kind of hope would we have? How in the world could I take 1 Thessalonians 4:18, and how could we comfort one another with these words? The reference is the rapture of the church. How could that be a comfort if the next thing for us was going to be the tribulation period? I mean, I don't know about you. That'd be depressing. And let's not wrest the scriptures to our own destruction. Let's rightly divide. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the privilege, Lord, to have a copy of it. Help us to realize, Lord, that to whom much is given, much shall be required. Lord, there's many nations, many individuals that do not have access to Your word. Lord, some only have access to very, very small portions. Lord, we have Your complete revelation. Help us to love it. Help us to study it. Help us to obey it. Help us to share the hope that we have, Lord, with others. Lord, that Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. Help us, Lord, to remember that hope and, Lord, to live with anticipation of Your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.